Good morning. Well, let me start with the announcement that today we will have the meeting with the Little Band Ministry as we lay out the family groups. Amen. Amen. That will be 15 minutes after church, so please hang around, then come on in with your children. We'll have a great time talking through that. If you have any questions, we can talk about that with the choirs as well. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, there we are. How hungry and thirsty are you for God? Church, the average American is not hungry. We snack around, we eat quite easily. I mean, I don't think we understand what hunger is like. You know, I got to tell you a small story. Back in 1980, my dad was in the city of Nairobi and I was going to school. Life was easy, driven to school. Lunch was Asian rice with a lot of choice of what meat you could eat. And then a transfer happened and he had to move up northwest of the country. And he got tired of moving me from school to school. So he made a decision to put me into a boarding school. Now, boarding school here may be the high end of life. That's not the same thing there. From going to school to being in a boarding school where you sleep there, for me was a nightmare. But let's talk about food in boarding school. We had a basic porridge meal every morning. And sometimes it wasn't porridge, it was semi-porridge, semi-something. I wasn't sure I wanted to eat that food, and I struggled for a good year. Lunch was a mixture of boiled beans and maize, or corn, as you call it here. And then, sometimes because of the sheer number of people, weevils came through that plate. And initially, I was so selective, didn't want to eat. But eventually, I got very hungry, and I just got used to eating it. I'm not exaggerating this. The cabbage was not well cut, was big. Sometimes I exaggerate, embellish the story, say the cabbage was as big as an elephant's ear when they put it on the plate. And sometimes as you ate, yeah, you found caterpillars in there. Now, it's just life back then was, things were not very thorough, but when you're hungry, you're going to eat some food. And I tell you that story and you'll get shocked. And I say, well, you don't know what hunger is like. Because when you're hungry, you'll make it happen. And many of us have lost that thirst. And I tell that story to tell you, we need to get back to the hunger of God. The hunger of wanting God to feel us, to talk to us, to inspire us, to want to get us to talk about Him. Not because we must show that we talk about Him, but because we are so hungry, we can't help but talk about God and invite people, talk to them about God. That can only happen when you're hungry. But the question is, when is the last time you're hungry? What about thirst? Well, we did ministry in Africa and you went around the whole day. Sometimes it's very hot. But you can't drink anything because sometimes you get infected with typhoid. And typhoid is deadly, but it's common. So you hold on. So by the time you get where you want to drink your water, you're very thirsty. You drink it and appreciate that you got a bottle of water. Man, I find it very exciting that I can buy a ton of bottles of water for $3. So this is awesome. Let's get that. Man. I say that to say, though, have you lost your hunger for God? How thirsty are you? In a society that is moving first and welled up with materialism and everything else that comes with it, it's very easy to be dulled in your quest to connect with God, in your quest to even talk about God in any form or fashion to anyone on the streets, in the neighborhood, in the workplace. Why? Because we've lost the sense of hunger. I'm not asking you to try being hungry. I'm asking that you get understand how that looks like. When you're hungry, you make it happen. It drives you to look for food. You get in the fridge. It drives you to look for the bottle because you're thirsty. You want that to happen. But with God, you have to see you need God to function. You need God to get to the next level. So what gets in the way of us not transforming? We're not just hungry anymore. We're not thirsty. That's what's going on. So let's get here and discuss this. Okay, let's get this going. So let's get on point number one. So how do we make sure this hunger comes around? Growth does not pretend. Hungry people don't pretend. They don't pretend. If you're hungry, you're hangry. There's no time to with niceties and acting like I can't touch this, I can't touch that. We eat what we God has put in front of us. Does that make sense? They don't pretend. But it is easy for us to get caught up with how life it just pushes you to become like everybody else. So Mark 10:15-16, the Bible says here that I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them and blessed them. This was when the disciples felt like, come on, these kids are disrupting our time with Jesus. Take them away. He says, well, hold on, bring the kids to me. Unless you receive the kingdom of God like a child, you will not enter it. So what's a child? We're not talking about childish, like a child. When a child is hungry, they turn to the parent very quickly. They don't pretend. They call, mommy, mommy, I need food. I need this. I need to do that. Where do you turn to? Where do you turn to? Do you turn to God? Where do you turn to? Do you turn to materialism? Where do you turn to? Do you turn to position? Where do you turn to when the going gets tough? Do you turn to God? Do you turn to the internet? Where do you turn to? This is stuff we must deal with. We got to ask ourselves, why are we not hungry anymore? Why are we not thirsty? It has to do with the fact that we are not receiving the kingdom of God like children. Children don't pretend. They will cry. They'll cry even in Walmart. They'll cry. Yeah, they'll cry in the supermarket. They'll be crying in the Starbucks. They'll be crying, hey, what's going on? And you'll be trying to hush them. Oh, let's go in the corner. Let's go in the corner. And now I have a need here. And that's the issue that we got to get back to that childlike faith. We are no longer afraid to say, God, I have a need and I need to talk to you about this need. And we're going to talk about what's going on. When you understand that, you begin not just to exist, but you begin to live again. You begin to feel alive. You begin to feel the Holy Spirit guide you and transform you and begin to bring you about. So unless you receive the kingdom of God as a child, it will not be. And the truth of the matter is that as you grow older, you learn many ways of protecting yourself. And you're not like a child. You don't let God touch you. In fact, in the name of dignity and other things, we really push away God and never allow connections to happen. So he's saying, you have to do that. That's how it functions. You have to receive God like that. Not childish, but in a childlike way. Amen. You understand that? Yeah. Because childish is his emotions and all that stuff. No, childlike way, innocent, trusting God, knowing that God can bring this about. Amen. So that innocence disappears quickly because of what we call my reality. And I tell you that your reality is not bigger than God. Put it in the hands of God and you see what God can do with that. It may take time, but God will fix that as well.
Here's the funny thing about people.
Let's take that twice. I'm going to play this clip. Watch this clip and understand the things that make us lose the hunger for God. Okay, let's decipher a little bit the clip. Everything you saw there is what gets in the way of us being hungry. It's the masks we put on that does not allow God to touch us as we should. That stuff happens anyway. But the point today is not for us to look at that and say, okay, the point today is to get to a point of how can I begin to be hungry again for God? How can I get away from the mask and begin to be hungry for God again? Because when you're like that and get to the streets and talk to your neighbors about God and talk to people about God, and they see how you're so free, you don't carry the mask, they want that. Amen. They want that free person. They're looking for that person. But we shun God and take on the masks. Why do we take on the masks? We don't need to. I'm not saying it's about to look nice, but don't make that your mask of survival. Don't take on the debt to a point where it kills your fire for God. And there's so much mask we can put on. Today, the question is, will you move away from that and begin to be okay with God? Because then God begins to walk in you in a way that is so real. You get so inspired, you can't help but talk about Him. Amen. That's what happens when God is doing that in your life. So today you have to understand, what's your mask? I didn't cover all the masks over there. Maybe you got some that I didn't touch there. But we all have some masks that we got to deal with. And we got to let go of that stuff so that God may get going in our lives. Does that make sense? Here's a challenge though. When you've had a mask for so long, you confuse that for you. You confuse that for you. Because you don't know even who you are. You're confused. You no longer know who's really you. The mask has taken over. We've got to do some open conversation with God, with one another, to reconnect and get back to really transformation. Transformation doesn't happen when people are playing church or having masks. It doesn't work. I mean, I'm going to ask this question again. How often are we doing fellowship? Because that's where it all begins. Fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. How is that going? How was your weekend? I hope you're somewhere fellowshipping. Amen. Well, I got a few amens in this corner. I don't know. Everybody else is like, I'm not sure I was doing anything fellowshipping like. I was just sitting somewhere. The whole idea of God is relationship, people. You cannot get away from that. But we live at a time when everything is against that. I can text you. I can Facebook you. I can, but never talk to you. Teens, your world is you're playing a game on the phone, you're playing a game on the computer, you barely interact with people, you play a game. Man, that's not healthy. Get out and get some fresh air. Don't just be sitting down there in the basement playing games. Come out and talk to people out here. Interact. Get to know the real person. Who are they? Sometimes we'd say very hurtful things online about people. Because it's easy to hide behind a machine and say anything and not see how you're damaging those people. It's important that you come out and face the people and talk about things. Anyway, moving on. I could talk until tomorrow. Second point, crave for growth. Craving. You got to want that craving. You know, and a child is, when the child is craving love for God, I mean, for their mother or for their father, it's amazing if you see it happen. And we need to crave growth. And look at what the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 2 NLT. It says, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all kinds of speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Amazing. But let's start up on the top. So get rid of all evil behavior. There's plenty of evil behavior in our neighborhood. There's plenty of evil behavior in our lives. Things we think, the way we treat people, the way we behave around our spouses, with our children, with one another. Stuff that just needs to go. That's something that the Bible talks about. And then it says here that be done with all deceit. What is deceit? It's sometimes even giving an impression of something that is not. You may not have lied, but you gave an impression. And we're professors of that now. People have PhDs in this world in that. Where are you? I'm around the corner. What does that mean? On the way. Where exactly are you? It's always funny when people say around the corner. Okay, come on. Deceit. Hypocrisy. We talked about last week. I won't go there too much. Jealousy. Oh, let's talk about this. It's a huge sin in the 21st century. And he has a cousin called envy. And other sisters and people are around that. So let's stick with those two for now. I mean, you know how you're having a good day? You're walking around. And then you meet someone that you went to school with. Right? Then you find out that their life, according to you, they're doing better than you. For some reason. Depending on what you value. Some people value cars. What car was he driving? Whatever car you like. And after that, you just feel blue. You know when the funk comes over you? You're not just happy again. And you don't know why. You were happy until you met the person. I mean, let's talk about how the world is pushing the young ladies too. Yeah, things are said about women that are really nasty. Using the S word. And I really think that many of us are losing the values of God because we're pushing too hard to look a certain way, to be accepted as beautiful. And beautiful has been reduced to a cookie cutter kind of setup. You got to have this. I say to you, you're bigger than what a man says about you. Amen, sisters. And you're bigger because you're created in the image of God. I think that causes a lot of jealousy between people. And you feel insecure. You attack. You put people down for hair, for all kind of silly things. And I say to myself, life is too short to fight over my hair. I don't have it. No, there's no time for such kind of thinking. Got to move on. We have to have a depth bigger than how we look, a depth bigger than where we live, a depth bigger than what we drive, a depth bigger than what you eat, a depth bigger than where you went to school. You have to have some depth in you that is coming from God, not from you. And yet, we allow these things to determine our joy, our convictions. We struggle. We struggle with self-esteem. We struggle with belonging. We struggle with accepting who God claims to be, who we are. We think we'll be better people if we had money. We had this morning, money would make you more problems. And that's not where you want to go. You want to come out and find yourself. And that's why it says get rid of that. Jealousy is big. And all unkind speech. There's unkind speech everywhere now. People put it online, put it everywhere. We got to ask ourselves, when you speak, does it build one another? When you speak, do you build the other person listening? That's what Ephesians talks about. When you speak, does it build the other person? Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. We've got to experience the whole spectrum of salvation. The aspect of connecting to God, to people, reaching out to people, serving the community, serving one another. It's a whole spectrum. When you get baptized, that's one spectrum of it. Repentance is one spectrum. But the growth is a whole spectrum that you have to embrace and experience. You're most likely held back because you've never engaged the whole spectrum. You've reduced your God experience to a church activity. You suffer from spiritual eventism. You come to church on Wednesday and on Sunday. And after that, nothing happens. You talk to no one about God. You have no relationships with one another. It's a dead life in between. As we set family groups, we hope we can begin to unlock the day-to-day spiritual life that should expound within ourselves and touch in community. That happens when you come to understand that you have to experience So I speak to you because I know maybe you've never experienced it, but it can be an experience where you feel God guide you on a day-to-day basis. You pray about it and you walk in the day and you feel that God was at work today. As you walked around, you saw God open doors for you. As you walked and went from point A to point B, you felt God pathways in front of you. Not luck. It's not in the Bible. There's no luck or coincidence. God was at work. The idea that because you can explain something scientifically, God is not in it, is a fallacy. God is in every aspect of life. Every aspect of life. That's why you sit here today. God has set that out. But you had to obey God to be here. And I pray that you can understand that. If we are growing, we are always going to be out of our comfort zone. That's the truth. If you're going to grow, you always have to be out of the comfort zone. But we are in a world that says be comfortable. Set your future. Be comfortable. Take it easy. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to take rest. It's okay to lie down and cut your snooze. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But it's not okay to take comfort in not giving yourself to God. Where you settle. Where you just say, this is me. I don't have to change anything. That's not healthy. That's not of God. We are always on a journey of growth. And I can tell you today that you've never been around this day. If you're 60, today you're 60 plus one. If you're 70, today you're 70 plus one. You've never been alive today. So today is the day that you need to connect with God. If you're a father or a mother, you've been a father of a child that is older today. So you have to experience today and connect with that reality today. The idea that you just set stuff and it's on auto drive, it doesn't work. It's not on cruise control. Every day is a day that you must connect with God. But you must want that. And I see that as I get busy and I sleep here and I find how it gets busy, it's easy not to want to fight for that. Because it's just too much coming your way. But you have to, or you have to make the choice to follow the most important things in your life first. And the rest will come together. Thirdly, what are you feeding your soul? What are you feeding your soul? You see, what you eat spiritually will reflect long term. What are you feeding your soul? Imagine all you did was eat popsicles. What would happen long term? Would have issues, right? But spiritually, are you doing popsicles? Good stuff. Something you stay with. Enjoy for a while. That's all you do. Okay, let's read. Hebrews 5:11-14. Scripture reads, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. They were going backwards. They're going backwards. They needed to change. They were not where they were supposed to be. Verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. 14. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I could preach from that the whole day, but let's stick with the last ones. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Constant use. Constant use. They have trained themselves. Constant use. They have trained themselves to distinguish what? Good from evil. It's constant. I'm telling you have to fight harder now to be that engaged to know what's good from evil. Because everything is automated. People rarely just keep quiet and listen to God. You wake up to a beeping phone and stuff is coming your way, advertisement is coming your way. I mean, you get into the car, there's music playing. If you're like me, I like my jazz. You have to have the courage to say, put it off, man. And just hear God. You go somewhere, people are talking to you. We have to learn to distinguish good from evil. And that doesn't come naturally. You have to train yourself with the Word of God. Train yourself with the Word of God to distinguish good from evil. We all think, I've not killed anyone. I'm talking from good from evil. I know you didn't kill anyone. But maturity doesn't come from that kind of stuff. 99% of the American population is not killing anyone. So spiritual maturity is distinguishing good from evil. It takes more than that. We need to understand this. What if I told you that 10 years from now, your life would be exactly the same? How would you like that? 10 years from now, it would be exactly what you have right now. Would you really be happy to be frozen stuck in time? Would you be happy? But we do that to ourselves. We're frozen stuck in some ways. In a way, we don't want to do anything new. Then why are you so afraid of change and growth? That's what we really are. We are afraid of change and growth. We are afraid of what God can do if we made that change. We are afraid of what God can bring about in our lives, in our marriages. There is pain in change, but if we get it right, amazing things can happen. Why are we afraid? You see, if you're young, you wish you're stuck in 10 years in that position. That's an illusion. There was a time in my life I used to think, man, I have not changed at all. Until white hair happened to me. I said, oh, I've changed. I got white hair. We need to embrace this growth aspect. To go forward, we must embrace growth. But that means change. That means change. And you have to make a decision on what you want to work on this week. How will you be different this week? Hebrews 6, 1 to 2. Therefore, living the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on toward maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instructions about washing and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. That will be the argument they'll be having. Instead of growing, they'll be fighting over the semantics of why this, why that. And sometimes we can get caught up in the semantics of very basic stuff. Repentance is repentance. We change. We change our mind. We change our character. We become different. Transformation is Christ is forming in us. Become different. We become new. The point I want to make here is this. We have to leave some elementary things behind. The elementary things of saying, I cannot wake up in the morning. I think we can get an alarm to go off and that'll wake us up. Amen? That's elementary. You know what? We can get in the spirit of talking about God as we walk around. It's not a campaign. It's a personal way of God. And as God talks to you, say, you know, I need to talk to this person about God. That's elementary. You understand that? But we can get to a point where we say, you know, we need to fight for our marriages. We got to make this work. Even when we're having difficulty, we must make this work because God is with us. That's elementary, but we got to fight for it. Amen? I mean, as single people, we got to go in fellowship. Amen? I mean, we got to get out there and today before you leave, tell a sister, can we go in fellowship next Saturday? Nobody said amen to that. Said something. Tell our sister, let's go on fellowship. Yeah, I just want to encourage you. No strings attached, just Christ attached. Awesome. I don't have the money. Well, look for a home and brother. They can invite you there. And they can have a double date and you can find a way. Be creative around the staff. It's summertime. Go out to the parks and have a good time. Bring out cards. Bring something. Have a good time. Amen. The idea that you're going to just be sitting at home and talking to yourself is not healthy. Get out there and have a good fellowship with people. Amen. My prayer is that you understand this well. My prayer is that we understand the value of getting elementary things in place and making it happen. We cannot be talking forever and never making change. Now I ask you, I gently ask you to begin making that change, to start having some fellowship. Even in campus, we need to start going on fellowship. Amen, campus? Amen, brothers? Amen, brothers? We're going to go on fellowship, amen? I'm focusing on you now. We're going to go on fellowship, man. We're going to go on fellowship. This needs to happen. But even married people, you need to ask people to come to your house. When is the last time you hosted anyone in your house as a married person? Get them into your house. Get them over. Have a good time. And tell them, and if you're too busy, tell them we're going to have a fellowship of 1 hour. 1 hour fellowship. You're going to go after that. We love you, though. That's okay. You will find it out, the both of you, and you are old enough to figure it out. I hope and pray that we can make growth from this point on. God bless you.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve, for just helping us to see some things that we can use to grow and to just not stay the same, that we can be filled with righteousness and be more of what God wants us to be. Thanks for the tools you gave us for that. I have two very important announcements. The first one is that for any parents of graduates, you need to get the information requested to Jolisha King today. Today is the deadline. And for the family group that's meeting today, or the groups that are meeting today, it's the Collier region, which is Lilburn, Duluth, Peachtree Corners, Norcross, and Tucker. If you're in those areas, we will be meeting right after church, 15 minutes after. And also the Roca Stovall Married Group, and also the Rustic Couch Singles Ministry with Ron Frazier. You know who you are. And I will go ahead and pray for us, and we'll have a final song, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for this time today to be together, to worship you, to spend time just remembering what you did for us, Father, the sacrifices you've made for us. Help us to grow into more and more every day what you want us to be, Father. I pray, help us to have the gratitude and appreciation of your love for us, Father. I pray, help us to have a great time of fellowship, and that you would work through the changes with family groups, that it will just be fruitful and productive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.